You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. What an amazing week it's been around this planet of ours with lots of things happening, and it's just an exciting time to be alive as we head into the later half of the year where, you know, things are starting to sort of gear up. People are starting to get ready and think about the festive season ahead. And for you guys in the Northern Hemisphere with sort of Halloween and the change of seasons and getting ready to sort of, you know, move into your colder time of the year. We're heading into warmer time here in Australia, which is lovely because I'm a summer person. But it's a very exciting time of the year as, you know, 1 month draws to a close and then we sort of come to that sort of pointy end of the year where we start to ask ourselves, what is it we've done? What is it we've achieved that we set out to do at the beginning of the year? And like many people, you know, the things that I might have had on my list of things that I was going to achieve on my New Year's resolutions, I don't know that I've managed to achieve all of them. Some of them are not as important now as they once were, but that's what life's about, isn't it? It's about adjusting and going with the flow and making changes when you need to, that you're not everything is set in concrete. And I think that's one of the things I've learned over my life. You can have the best laid plans, and life comes along and life intervenes and life changes things and life sort of says, well, this is not what you are going to be doing. This is what you thought you were going to be doing, but this is the new path that we're on. So I think it's a very exciting time to be alive. So this week, the Simply Tarot card of the week is called the Wheel of Fortune. Now, look, the Wheel of Fortune is one of those ambiguous sort of cards. People look at this and they say, oh, great, I'm going on an overseas trip. Well, yes, it can mean that, but not all of us are packing our bags and going on an exotic holiday overseas. It's also the elevation of money, which means, you know, quite often the elevation comes from maybe a little bit of extra hard work or some overtime, or maybe just us being more in control of our own budgeting skills gives us a little bit more money in the coffers to do the things that we want to do. It's a time of completion phases too. Now, I quite often look at this card when it comes out in a reading that you've done the hard yards. It's now we can put things into a completion role that we can say, fine, this is where we need to be going. This is, you know, we've completed a really tough task. It's time now to be able to move forward. And for those of you that are lucky enough to be packing your bags and going on an exotic holiday, we'll have an absolutely wonderful time. For me, I don't do as much travel as I did once upon a time, and I'm sort of a little bit of a homebody now. I'm very happy to be the exotic overseas traveller from my comfort of my armchair. And I think, you know, as we go through life, things change like that. So we're going to move on to the astrology section, and this is becoming quite popular. I can't tell you how many people that sort of email me and message me during the week that sort of say that this has really sort of helped them make decisions or understand why they're feeling the way that they are. Now, it's happy birthday to the Librans. It's their birthday time of the year. I have lots of Libran people in my inner circle of people, and they're really, really nice people. And look, they get a lot of bad press because a lot of people say they can't make up their mind. They're sort of to-ing and fro-ing or up and down, and they can't make a decision. That's not exactly true. With a Libra, they are able to balance the scales because they research or balance everything up in their mind. They weigh everything up very, very carefully. And they weigh the information up like a high court judge. They look at everything that's there to be looked at. They look at it a number of times and then they bring down their final ruling. It's like they bring the hammer down and they say, right, this is it. This is my final decision. This is where we're going with this. So if you really want to sort something out, then maybe consult a Libra friend because they will look at everything very, very squarely, very fairly, with no emotion most of the time. They can look at it just in the raw facts because they are an air sign. And then they'll turn around and say, well, this is my interpretation or this is my findings or this would be my ruling on the matter. So the next time you've got a really tricky problem, maybe check out our Libra friend and get them to give you a little bit of a hand. We have Mercury, the planet of communication, is sitting in Libra at the moment. So this is affecting each and every one of us. So it's not just affecting the Librans, which is, or the air signs, which is Libra, Aquarius, Gemini, and the opposite sign of Aries. It's washing over the rest of us. So it's asking us to be a little bit more fair in the things that we're trying to sort out. So if you've got to have a conversation with somebody at the moment that's not exactly particularly easy, then maybe make sure you've got all your facts straight. Look at it from their point of view as well as your point of view and present it in that way. I appreciate that you're not going to be happy with this, but these are my reasons for presenting this to you. So at least if you can present to them the reasons why you know that they're not going to be comfortable with it, or it may not be something on their radar at the moment, but you're bringing it to their attention for this reason or these reasons, then you're going to get more traction there, that they're actually going to stop and lock and listen and look at you maybe in a different light and say, hang on a minute, that person was really presenting both sides of the argument. They weren't just coming in here into my office or on the phone with me about their needs. They were trying to be very fair and look at the whole picture. And if you can do that, then you'll achieve a far better result. Sometimes I think we go in guns a-blazing and we don't consider the other person's feelings or their stance or what they might need out of the situation. It's only our own stuff is very important. So if you're able to look at it from a different angle, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So we have Venus, the planet of love and affection for those people that are looking to find love, is sitting in Virgo at the moment. Now, this is a very critical place for Venus to sit, because Venus is sort of saying to you that you really, really need to take the rose-coloured glasses off and have a good look at why you want to attract a relationship or why you're attracted to somebody that you've just met. Now, Venus is conjunct or holding hands the South Node. Now, the South Node is not a planet. It's one of the moon's nodes. Now, the South Node means this is where we're coming from. This is the lessons that we've already lived or are personally going through at the moment. This is what we're aspiring to move on from. So you have to be very careful at the moment. If you're attracting new love or you've just started a new relationship, make sure that you're not retreading over the same steps or the same type of relationship that you've attracted in the past. Make sure that this person is unique and different and you're attracted to them for their own qualities, not because it feels secure or comfortable. I've always dated men with brown hair, for argument's sake, so I can't fall in love with anybody that doesn't have brown hair. We've got to look at the whole picture. And sometimes what Venus is telling us here, and it doesn't matter what your star sign is the fact that we need to make sure that if something didn't work in the past, packaging it or presenting it in a different way is not going to change it. So if you're used to attracting people that are constantly controlling you or dictating how you can live your life, and you meet somebody new and they've got the same sort of tendencies, why are you looking to go back down that path again just because they present themselves, they've got different hair and eye colouring and a different build, and they might be in a different profession? But if the personality traits are the same that you know that did not work for you in the past, why are we thinking this time we can make it work or we can make it different? We have to ask ourselves, why are we going down that path? And usually the answer is because it's familiar. It's comfortable. We know it. We understand it. We keep saying we want to change. We want something different. But when something different is presented to us, it seems a little bit prickly. Sometimes then we don't sort of feel that we can really sort of make that leap of faith or make that adjustment. It's easier to go with something that feels familiar to us, even if it's not what we want. So this is affecting definitely the earth signs, which is Virgo, Capricorn and Taurus, and the opposite sign of Pisces, but it is washing over the remaining eight signs. So if you are seeking love or you've just started a new relationship, I'm not saying to you don't proceed with it. I'm just asking you to double check with yourself. Is there anything here that you can learn from this? Is there anything here that spells of the past, things that were unacceptable to you or were a deal breaker or you didn't feel comfortable with? Or is this your big lesson that you've learned from the past and you've attracted somebody that has different qualities? If that's the case, that's terrific. And for most of us, the answer is no. It's sort of like a different version of what didn't work before. it's like sort of saying, well, okay, I'm going to buy a new dress in a different colour. I didn't really like the way it fitted or the way it felt. But if I change the colour, it'll be better. Well, no, it won't. Well, it's the same with relationships. So we've really got to learn and grow as we go along. So, you know, the Virgo energy can be very, very critical, can be very analytical, can also be a little bit feeling like there's no great excitement in the love. Now, you know, love doesn't always be on steroids. It isn't always at the maximum level of excitement. You know, there's periods there where things are very monotone or very low key. And then there's bits in between where things sort of feel, you know, up and down or feel good, or one day they're feeling terrific and then the next day it's just sort of, it comes into a comfortable groove. But with Virgo here, it can sometimes numb that a little bit because we're being so much in our head that we forget to bring our heart into the matter as well. And we've got to bring our heart into something. You know, I can remember somebody coming to me once for a reading and saying, you know, I have this absolutely amazing Virgo man in my life. He's everything I could ever want. He's very attentive. He's very positive. He's very this. He, you know, makes me feel great and all these sort of things. But there's no real passion there. And, you know, and he tells me that he finds it sexy when I'm cooking dinner. And she said, well, you know, he doesn't sort of say I look sexy when I'm all dressed up and ready to go out for a night on the town. He tells me I look sexy with an apron on and I'm stirring the bolognese pot. And, you know, you have to sort of look at, you know, every person is different and everybody has a different way of expressing themselves. And he was a Virgo and she wasn't. And she found this very uncomfortable because she'd go to a lot of effort to make herself look drop dead gorgeous. And he wouldn't say anything. And yet she'd be invite him over for dinner and she'd be all, you know, the typical housewife cooking dinner. And he'd tell her how beautiful she was and how amazing she was. And she couldn't quite understand that. And once she understood that that was the ultimate compliment, that that was what he found sexy, was her just being herself, not putting on makeup and dressing up and things like that, didn't necessarily impress him. He loved her for who she was. So that's sometimes a little bit of a message there that you can take away. If you're dating a Virgo, they're not always as gushy with the compliments as you may like. We have Saturn, the planet of discipline, has just moved back into Pisces. It's retrograde or going backwards at the moment. It was in Aries for a little while, but it's going to do its final stint in Pisces now until February next year. So this is really interesting because this is affecting the water signs again. And again, I have lots of Pisces people in my world. And it's they're sort of saying to me sort of like, oh, I thought we were done with this. You know, all of a sudden I sort of feel as if there's a bit of restriction here. There's a little bit of pressure. Well, yes, there could be because Pisces, the energy here in Pisces is saying, let's go back and triple check all the things that you made changes in, looking at how you've become such a strong person, just revisiting to make sure that everything that you've achieved is now workable. You know, is there anything here we need to tweak, we need to fine tune, or is it just a matter of sort of just double checking, triple checking and sort of taking in a deep breath and sort of exhaling and say, oh, well, I made that through that. I can just sort of coast along now and just wait for the changes or the things that I've implemented in my life to become reality. That, you know, I'm not feeling uncomfortable. I'm just feeling that a little bit of pressure there because, you know, when Saturn was in Pisces there for a length of time, it felt very uncomfortable for them because they were being told what to do. They were being told to be disciplined and be focused and be organized and not necessarily wander off into your little Pisces fantasy world and be a little bit like Peter Pan and never wanting to grow up. They all of a sudden had this volume of responsibility and things that didn't feel natural to them. So now with this sort of little revisit of Saturn, they're sort of thinking, oh, no, we're not going down that path again. I've had enough of that. We had, you know, 2.5 years of that. Do we really need to go back and revisit it? Well, yes, we do, because we just need to make sure you've dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, and everything will start to sort of flow forward. So we're talking about water signs here, which is Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio, and the opposite sign being Virgo. We're also looking at Uranus is doing its trek through Gemini. That's going to be there for a number of years. Uranus is also retrograde at the moment. So Uranus is not maybe at full strength here, but he is starting to sort of stir things up, and he's asking the air signs, particularly Gemini, Libra and Aquarius, and the opposite sign of Sagittarius, to have your eyes and your ears open. There's opportunities that could land in your lap out of nowhere. There's things that could happen sort of suddenly, and then they're not always positive things. Sometimes when our energy gets out of balance, we sort of start to find that we get run down, we get a virus or an illness or an infection or something like that, because we're meant to slow down a little bit and just give our body and our mind and our soul time to re-catch up. You know, we don't always have to go at a fever pace and sort of go full steam ahead all the time. We can allow ourselves to take a little bit of time. So there's lots of opportunities coming for them. So maybe, you know, if you're one of those signs that I talked about, it's flowing over to the other signs, but predominantly those four signs, then take the opportunity to have that little bit of rest, because there's a really busy period coming up and you want to be firing on all cylinders. So finally, I want to talk about Chiron in Aries. I've had a number of people ask me about this. Chiron is not a planet. It's called the wounded healer. It's where we look for in a chart where we need to heal. Now, Chiron's been sitting in Aries now for some time, so it is affecting Aries people particularly, or the other fire signs, which is Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and the opposite sign of Libra. So Chiron is asking you to really sort of take control of your physical, mental, and emotional health. It's sort of saying to you, don't leave any stone unturned. If there's something wrong or something that's bothering you, go and get it checked out. Go and talk to your doctor and sort of take the pressure out of your mind. It might be absolutely nothing. And it can be healing on another level too. It can be healing on an emotional level that, you know, quite often people find when Chiron's going through their sign, all of a sudden they start looking at complementary or alternative therapies as sort of a way to sort of bring that into part of their healthcare regime, that maybe they think that they can bring things into balance. Maybe there's old emotions and things that they've had locked up in their bodies for too long that it's now time for release. So it's a very positive sign. Even if the news isn't great, make sure you listen to what your doctor's got to say, because you've got more chance of beating something if you catch it early enough. And, you know, and I know Aries people particularly are quite often a little bit stubborn. Oh, I'll be right, mate. I'll be right. You know, and it's not the time to be the hero. It's the time to say, okay, might be time to go and have a physical exam, have a checkup, have a chat with the doctor and say, you know, I've had a toe ache or whatever the case may be. They might turn and say, well, there's nothing wrong with you, mate, go home. And that's good. And that's what you need to sort of do, but have it taken out of your mind that things are looking forward. So, you know, it is affecting, as I said, the fire signs, but it is washing over all of us. You know, you might be finding that you've got old emotions that are coming to the surface. Why on earth am I thinking about that? It's just Chiron's way of releasing it so that we can add opportunities to our lives and more space in our lives for some new and exciting things to come in. So we're going to take our first caller, which is Melissa in Mount Pleasant in Pennsylvania. Are you there, Melissa?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question I can answer for you, please, Melissa?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of changes regarding my work, my employment, and I'm just curious, are these, and very fast, like notice of 2 days or, you know, a week or something, are these changes for the positive? Is this something that is going to be beneficial to me in the future, or do you see anything along that? Changing job, okay. Anything like that.
First and foremost, I think it's good that you're aware of the changes that are happening around you. I think there's a lot of other people in the workplace that are completely oblivious to what's going on. So that's a positive that you're tuning in, that you're sort of being aware, you're sort of noticing things, even if they are subtle or they are slight, that you're aware of things that are going on. Look, I'm not going to say that this is the dream job, because I don't feel it is. I do feel that what you've been experiencing in this last couple of weeks will start to settle down and you'll start to get in a groove again, and you know, things will sort of become, quote, the new normal, and you'll feel quite comfortable with that. But I'm sort of picking up from about March next year, you're asking yourself, is this where I really want to be? You know, you're sort of starting to question it, not because of changes that are going on in the workplace, but changes that are going on within you. Is this really fulfilling or answering all my needs? Am I getting where I need to go? Can I see that there's opportunity here for promotion if that's what I'm aiming for? I'm not saying that you'll necessarily change your job then, but what I'm saying is you're going to start to question things. And that's not a bad thing. I sort of feel somewhere between March and June next year, I would not be at all surprised to see you start applying for other jobs. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see you take another job because it feels right to you and the conditions are better and it sort of more aligns with the changes that are going on inside you, Melissa. So it's interesting because the job itself is changing or the company itself is changing, and I'm not necessarily saying for the better on every level. Some things will improve, but some things aren't an improvement in my opinion. But also at the same time, it's like simultaneously you're changing, you're growing within yourself, and you're starting to see things there that sort of, that's maybe I don't feel comfortable with that, or I can't see a promotion, or I can't see an opportunity coming up and I really want that. So I'm just going to ask you to remain flexible, go with what your emotions are feeling, but don't allow them to consume you. You know, if you feel like things are going out of control this week at work, then make sure when you come home, you don't allow yourself to think about it. You give yourself 20 minutes when you get home to debrief for the day, and then that's it. I focus on something positive because I don't want to see you get swallowed up in the emotion of other people's toxic type of energy that's swirling around the workplace at the moment, because a lot of people are feeling uncomfortable and don't know why. So you're like a sponge at the moment. You're pulling in everybody else's energy, and I don't want you to do that and take it on board as your own. Do you know what I mean? Be aware of it. And that's why I'm saying give yourself a set time when you get home to debrief.
Yes, that is it. It's spot on of everything going on around me. And and I've been aware of that, and you know, trying to basically say, okay, I'm going to keep an open mind and, you know, try to stay positive and go with the flow. I mean, the only thing consistent is change. So I feel
that's the right way to look at it too, Melissa. And also, this is the time that you can now look at your CV and say to yourself, is there anything that I need to update, change, or do whatever to get myself ready in case I need to look for another job? You know what I mean? You've got time on your side. A lot of other people that are working around you don't understand why they're feeling uncomfortable. I'm not saying they're stupid. They're just not as aware as you are and looking at it very squarely like you are. So use this time to make sure that you're ready, prepared, and just sort of have your eyes and your ears open. You don't have to say a lot at work, but you can think, oh, yeah, I can see that and I can see this, and, oh, I'll avoid that person. They're looking like they're heading for trouble. And just sort of maneuver your way through it. But I'm not saying you can't change your job till next March. I'm just saying that's when the energy was at its strongest. Let's get you through the end of the year. Make sure that, you know, you're comfortable, you're feeling strong, and you're feeling that you're not jumping ship too soon too. And I think that's the important thing. You know, we all need to make sure that if we're going to make a major change like this, that it's precisely the right time, and it will be. And it's a resume in the US, my producers just told me. Well, we call them resumes here in Australia too, but the UK people call them CVs. So I never know which word to use. So update your resume and that'll be great. That's where we're going to leave it, Melissa. I wish you the very best with the changes that are coming up. We're going to talk with Meg now in Wisconsin in the USA. Are you there, Meg?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Do you have a question I can answer for you, Meg?
Yes, I was wondering if you see anything changing for me the rest of the year or the next 6 months, either in work, love life, or health.
Okay, first and foremost, we don't cover health on this show because all the different rules in different states and different countries, but I can say to you on an energetic level, health-wise, whatever you're doing, stick to it, because you're starting to sort of, it's like a layering effect. You're putting one layer on top of the other and you're getting stronger and feeling better in yourself, so that's good. So whatever you've changed, whatever you've been doing, if you've started eating differently or getting more sleep or whatever, just continue on that path because it is helping. It's interesting with you too, I feel that there's a lot of change coming up, and it's not so much that you're imagining it, that, you know, some days you feel more secure or more upbeat than you did the day before. It's because you're tuning into the changes as they're sort of happening. It's like in real time. It's like you're in real life sync with where things are going or how people are feeling around you. And it's like, I want to say to you, if you're feeling a little bit down or feeling a little bit off, it's not always your energy. Look at what might be going on around you. If it's the workplace, if everybody else is feeling titchy or out of sorts or confused or worried about their job, then acknowledge that, but say to yourself, well, okay, this may not be all my energy. It might be three other people that I'm sitting close to. It's their energy that I'm picking up. So I'll just leave that there. I'll just take the little bit that I'm responsible for. Look, I do feel that there could be a job change, but I don't, again, I'm going to say I'm not sure that it's going to be before the end of this year. It's like I want to sort of say to you, sort of sit back, just get prepared, you know, like look at your resume, make sure everything's up to the minute. What sort of change would you go for? Would you go for a different type of job or would you go for something similar? I feel you'd go for something similar, but I think something that's a little bit less complicated is what's coming to mind. And that doesn't necessarily mean less stress. I think where you're working at the moment, there's not enough people really doing their actual job. There's too many people running around trying to get noticed and wanting to get promoted that nobody's really focusing on the job at hand. And it's like you're there trying to pick up all the pieces for everybody. No, just do what you're responsible for, what you get paid for. You don't have to make the person next to you look good. You only got to worry about you. And by doing that, I think we'll take a little bit of pressure off you as well, because you won't come home from work absolutely exhausted every day like you've been run over by a steamroller, because you'll only be doing what you're designated to do and what you're being paid to do, not tidying up everybody else's mess. Now, I know you asked about love as well. It's really, really interesting because they were showing me love on two fronts. They were showing me that there's a past love that's going to try and come back or make some sort of connection, even if it's only reaching out to you on social media and you think, wow, I haven't heard from them in years. Wonder what, you know, and your curiosity gets the better of you. You sort of, you know, have a little bit of banter backwards and forwards. But what you realise in doing that, and it's a man with dark hair, I'm going to say a number of years back, I'm going to say to you, nothing's changed. The reasons why the potential relationship or the relationship didn't work before, nothing has changed in that department. But sometimes we need to revisit something because something's not quite finished. It's him that's going to reach out to you, and it'll be sort of, as I said, like something on social media and you think it's pretty harmless, but then you start to realise there's a little bit more than that that they're looking for out of this connection. You can sort of very politely sort of pull away from that. I want to just use that as a marker in time that when that happens, the right type of relationship is coming in not far behind it. It's like if this person with the dark hair, say, makes an approach to you, say, in the month of October, well, within a couple of weeks after that, you will physically meet somebody else, somebody brand new, somebody that will be the right type of love for you, where this was just sort of to get you sort of ready or organized. And it might have been somebody that you wondered whatever happened to them or why it didn't work or whatever. And it's like that little bit of a revisit cements everything that sort of, no, that wouldn't have been right anyway. So then the actual person that's coming into your life that I feel that will be the person that will form a really serious relationship with does have brown hair, but it's not dark brown hair. The first person I picked up from the past was sort of borderline black. This man has just got the lighter brown hair. He's got twinkly green to hazily coloured eyes, a really nice smile. I never get their names or anything like that, but I know you're going to meet him through friends, and it's an instant situation where the two of you are really attracted. You're both free. You're both ready for love, and it'll move very nicely. So, Meg, I hope that's helped you. That's where we've got to leave, Meg, now. We've come to the end of the show. The show always goes very, very quickly each week, but it's always lovely to connect with people. It doesn't matter what part of the world they're in. We love to connect with you all. So this week I'm going to leave you with a song from a very famous singer, one of the people in the US. For those that regularly watch this show, you'll know I have quite a wide cross-section of music that I enjoy, but there's three people or three entertainers worldwide that really are my top three that I go and I listen to on a daily basis, and this is one of them. And I think this song is very apt, and it's very much for the now, and I think it really is there for the two ladies that we spoke to today, Melissa and Meg, that this might be a song that they might get a little bit of inspiration out of. And it's Neil Diamond's I Am I Said. And I think the words to that song are very, very powerful. They're very timeless. And only Neil could write a song and deliver a song like that. And it becomes sort of something that a lot of us look up to and still get inspiration for out of a song like that. So I Am I Said by Neil Diamond, the one and only Neil Diamond. So until next week, I Am I Said, and bye for now.